It's time for Outdoor Adventures, a weekly podcast on hunting, fishing, and fresh air fun in the Lakelands. And now your hosts, Ken Wichupen and Jason Lauden.
Welcome, folks. This is Outdoor Adventures, the podcast. My name's Ken Wichupen.
And I'm Jason Lauden.
And we bring this to you every week thanks to our great sponsors, Warehouse Sports, Downtown St. Paul. Everything you need wrapped up into everything you want for a great day in the Lakeland. Cold Lake Brewing and Distilling. And remember, Jason,
I always enjoy responsibility.
I was going to get you on that, but you're sharp. And of course, Double D Contracting, reuse, rework, and recycle. That's what they do.
That sounded polished, Ken.
It's polished. And you know what we do, Jason? We talk about outdoors in the Lakeland. It's Labor Day weekend. Big day. I mean, it's when the Riders and Winnipeg get at her. And the traditional Banjo Bowl.
The Labor Day Classic.
No, it's the Banjo Bowl. The Labor Day Classic is Edmonton-Calgary. Okay.
I mean, agree to disagree, but I'm not going to fight you on
this
one.
Well, you know, great job.
The listeners will know.
Great job with the Winnipeg in the NFL game, by the way.
Yeah. They put on quite the show. Winnipeg's a classy town, and can't ask for much more than that. Hey?
Did they cordon off the stadium so they only wanted half to be full? Or what was the deal there?
You know, true CFL fans there in Winnipeg, not much NFL fans.
You are correct. Jason, let's talk duck hunting because to me, Labor Day is the start of hunting season, correct?
Absolutely.
And over the years, I've had some spectacular opening days waterfowling.
Waterfowl hunting is not my forte, but I mean, Labor Day in general, opening hunting, all different kinds of hunting, but definitely bird hunting for the people that go out. I know that's one that they're always looking forward to.
You know, it's interesting. The trick with early season waterfowling is you got to find the fields that are knocked down. If you can find a barley field, a pea field that's already been knocked down. Unfortunately, this year, we're not seeing a lot of that.
Everything's a little, it seems like it's pushed back a couple weeks this year. I don't know if it's the rain or what it was. I was actually back in Manitoba. They're in the thick of it. They're into harvest now. And almost all the fields are knocked down already. So back home, there's a pile of, you know, the geese are flying, and it's exciting times back there. But definitely, you want to find them fields that are knocked down.
It's a good and a bad because it's hard to find. But when you do find one, you literally have a gold mine.
For sure.
You know, it's a great spot. Of course, you know, the big thing with waterfowling, if you don't know who owns the land, check it out. Get permission. Do not be one of them guys just to go into a field and... That's just not the way it's supposed to be done.
No, for sure. And I find that if you are getting permission, do your due diligence. You know, take all your shells out there. If you're digging pits, I know some people like to hunt out of pits while they're waterfowling. You know, make sure you're filling them back in, clean up after yourself, and ensure that the hunt or the landowner is going to be able or going to allow you to go back there year over year.
I think pits are kind of going the way of the dinosaur. The way the new blinds are nowadays, the pop-up blinds, the coffin blinds, they call them, stuff like that. They're so comfortable. Even the goose chair. I know if you're... Are you familiar with the goose chair?
I am. That's actually how I did a lot of my goose hunting, yeah.
They're great.
They are, for sure. That's a great way of doing it. I know some people just take, you know, if you're being a little more economical, you can just take some, you know, just some gunny sack and put some straw over top of it, and even that can work out in
certain
fields.
But I remember we were a couple of young guys, me and a good buddy of mine, and we are going out, and we asked for him. We got the permission, lots of birds coming into the field, and so we figured we're going to dig a pit, and we told the farmer, we asked, do you mind if we dig a pit? It was harvested already, and it was summer followed, so he goes, yeah, you can dig as much as you want. Do you know how dry that ground is? And I said, well, how dry could it be? 3 hours later, we're about 3 feet down, not even enough to crouch down and hide in. So we keep down another 2 hours. We finally get almost there, and guess what? We hit a rock about the size of a Volkswagen right in the middle of the pit. So we ended up, it's about 9 o'clock at night now, and we want to hunt the next day. We ended up filling it in and basically doing what you said, just going out there, bringing some swaths and covering ourselves with that. Had a great hunt as it was the opening day once again. You know, there's so many great memories with opening day waterfowl for me, because that was my first hunt ever when I was, first time you get your license. I was 14 years old. My brother Dwayne took me out with Albert Tananko. He's passed on now, a good friend of ours. And they figured I had a 410 single shot Cooey shotgun with a 3-inch Magnum, 410.
A 410.
Yes, it was that thing could knock them down. No, it couldn't. But it was a great, you know, shotgun to learn on.
Absolutely.
They put me on the edge of the field where they figured nothing's going to come over there. He's going to sit there and watch us, you know, shoot over the decoys and have fun, and everything's going to be safe, fun, and you know. So the birds start coming in. Well, guess what? A flock of geese comes right over me 30 meters up. So I get up. I figure I'm going to be the hero. I jump up with that 410, pull the hammer back, lead the goose, pop, like literally pop.
And how far did he fly?
He turned his head and just, if a goose could laugh, that one was doing it right there. I'm not kidding. I'll never forget that.
Now, is that because of the 410 or because of the shooter?
I could see the pellets, you know, like tick, 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 but there just was not enough there. Probably four shot.
You know, I've seen you shoot before, Ken.
Not a shotgun.
That is true. That is true.
A shotgun. But anyways, great memory, great day. You know, we ended up getting a few birds that day, but it's stuff like that that makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. And one thing I really like about that opening, opening day, the early season hunting for waterfowl, especially when you're using decoys. You know, later in the season, quite often you'll find those geese, they'll shy away from the decoys. Yeah. They get pretty smart and they learn. And if you don't have higher end decoys that are, fully flocked, or they get a little bit of shimmer on them in the frost in the early mornings, it can ruin your hunt. They'll shy away. They'll land on the other side of the field. Nothing more frustrating than when you have a big flock, you get up early, set your whole spread up, and then they're landing, 500 yards away on the other side of the field. It's a frustrating thing. And I find that a lot of the times those early season hunts, they just come right into the decoys. They're still haven't been shot at.
Very naive. Local birds usually also, they're not getting the big migratory flocks coming through. You know, of course, memories are, like I say, it's what it's all about when you're talking about waterfowl hunting. A lot of people. Another good friend of mine, Fred Brady, he's passed on also, but he kind of took me under his wing over the years, and we had a lot of great hunts together. And one of the great things that he used to do all the time was right after we'd get our birds and we'd bring them back and, we were unwinding, after the hunt, we would breast a couple out, throw them on the barbecue right there in the field with rye bread, mustard, and take a whole pound of bacon first, put it in a cast iron skillet, get it, cook it right down so you got about a half inch of fat in the pan, and then cook the breast in there with a little bit of salt and pepper, slice it paper thin, put it on the rye bread with the mustard. Not a better way to end a hunt.
No, absolutely. And that's one thing I think that people take for granted is, going out there and shooting is a lot of fun. A lot of people like doing that. But then there's a lot of people, I've heard a ton of people talk about, the meat's not that good, but you got to find different ways that you can prepare it.
Rare. It's got to be rare.
Yeah, for sure. That's a big part of it. I know we've made breakfast sausage. Me and a couple friends, we've made some breakfast sausage out of it. That's a great way to utilize, especially if you have a whole pile of meat. It's a good way to utilize that meat if you're out there shooting birds day in and day out.
One thing Fred, he would always stress is we don't need to take our limit. We've got two guys here. If I get four geese and two ducks, I'm happy. A lot of people will hunt to their limit to make it a good hunt, but you don't have to do that.
No, absolutely not. Again, conservation, we preach it all the time, and it's an important thing for sure. There are a lot of geese out there, so if you are going to use them, definitely bang away, but otherwise if you're not using them, you shouldn't be shooting them.
Take what you need. Definitely, you're talking decoys, stop into Warehouse Sports. I know Daryl can fix you up with all kinds of decoys
for sure, and then his shotgun selection and
shells,
ammunition selection is second to none, so definitely pop in there and check them.
I think that's one of the biggest changes to waterfowling in the last 10 years is the going to steel shot, obviously. But all these other manufacturers are coming out with stuff like heavy shot, which is a mixture of tungsten, steel, and different, even the way the BBs are, some of them are like shaped like little spaceships.
Yeah,
to fly through the air.
I know one of my favorites is a Winchester. It's called the Blindside, and they're actually kind of cubed pellets. They're not perfectly round. They're more of a cube, so they got kind of points on them a little bit. And I find that one, they're heavier, and then they also hit a lot harder. So definitely, and different guns are going to shoot different bullet or shells different. So try them out. I always like going out early and setting up a big piece of cardboard, shooting and seeing how your gun patterns with different kinds of ammunition as well. It's a great way to tell which kind of ammunition is shooting good through your gun.
That's a great way, a simple way to do that. A good piece of butcher paper, for example, so you can see where all the pellets are going and the distance. One thing I find about steel, it's faster than lead. You don't have to lead the bird as much a lot of the time. A lot of people complain about cripples and stuff like that. I don't know if you want to blame that to bad shooting or the shell.
It could be bad shooting. It could be a matter of just, taking too far of shots. I always preach, know your distances and know what your gun's capable of and don't shoot out past that. Same with archery hunting, same with rifle hunting. You don't think about it as much for birds because, you hit them or you don't, but, it's kind of a pain when you got the geese coming in and you see one drop, 500 yards away from you. You're watching it and it ends up going down a little further away. You got to run out there while geese are coming coming in, it's frustrating. So sometimes it's just either waiting a little bit longer or maybe not taking that first shot. When they do their first flyby, they go, make a big circle and come back. It is tough.
Once the landing gear's out, it's time to start shooting. It's
That's what they say.
Jason, you know what? That great advice, as always, that you give here on Outdoor Adventures, the podcast, which you can check out on Facebook, Fishing and Hunting in the Lakeland. Check us out on there. And of course, My Lakeland Now, click on the podcast button and you can find us every week. We're piling up the shows on there.
There are a few there for sure. I know for some new listeners I've talked to, they went through and they say, you know, if you're going on a road trip or whatever, it's a good way to burn up some time, because we now have quite a few up there already.
And thank you for listening. Jason, we're going to play a couple commercials and we're going to come right back. My name's Ken Wichipin.
I'm Jason Ludden.
Stay tuned, folks. This is Outdoor Adventures, the podcast.
When it comes to gearing up for your next hunting trip, fishing trip, or anything outdoors, rely on Warehouse Sports. They have the widest selection of rifles, sell Saskatchewan fishing licenses, and so much more. If you don't find what you need, Warehouse Sports will get it just for you. Locally owned and operated for 15 years, so they know the area and what's needed for an outdoor adventure in Alberta. Stop by Warehouse Sports on Main Street in St. Paul or visit their Facebook page today.
Cold Lake Brewing and Distilling. Making craft beer and spirits using Cold Lake's deep crystal clear water and as many local ingredients as possible, including honey from their bee apiary. Why not come down to Cold Lake Brewing and Distilling for a growler fill or some cans and a bottle of craft spirits? It's a great day to get outside and crack a cold one. Must be legal drinking age. Please drink responsibly.
Double D Contracting and Construction wants to recycle your concrete. Recycled concrete has many benefits, but the most important is that it will save you money. If you have concrete that you want gone, visit DoubleDContracting.ca today.
Outdoor Adventures. All your fresh air fun in the Lakeland. Back to Ken and Jason.
Welcome back, folks. This is Outdoor Adventures, the podcast. My name's Ken Wichipin.
I'm Jason Ludden.
And of course, we could not do this without our great sponsors, Warehouse Sports, everything you need, wrap up into everything you want for the outdoors in the Lakeland, Cold Lake Brewing and Distilling, and Jason?
Please enjoy responsibly.
Very, very good. And Double V Contracting and Construction, reuse, rework, and recycle. Jason, we're going to talk hunting and fishing the second part of this show, because big game season has also started. 514, I know, is ready and up and running right now.
It is, yeah, for sure. And then archery and a lot of zones, different animals, different species. There's lots going on for sure. And big game, again, is something that I chase after a little bit more than the waterfowl for sure. And I'm looking forward to getting out there and chasing some animals with the bow.
I'm looking forward to eating some fresh deer meat, actually.
For sure.
Or bear, for that matter.
Fill the freezer back up, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
My bear tag's still good that we bought in the spring. Still active for the fall. We're going to go out and try. We're going to give it a try. The baits are still active right now.
Absolutely. Right now I find that the bears in general, they put on the, you know, they're putting on the
wonderful
weight right
condition,
now. So
yeah.
They're looking to, you know, put the feed bag on. And quite often if you get bears coming to your bait right now, they're going to be in there 24/7. You know, they won't go more than a couple hours without being in there. I find later fall, it's actually easier to get those bears than in the springtime.
So what about deer right now? Deer are tough. It is a jungle out there, you know, excuse the cliche, but the leaves are still up. It's thick bush, especially with all the rain we've had this year. What's a good strategy for an early season whitetail?
Absolutely. And being an archery hunter, obviously you got to get a lot closer. The biggest thing is just, you know, having that groundwork done already before the season, when you're going out driving around, you know, taking note of where these deer are. Right now, I find in the first week or so before they start rubbing that velvet off, those deer are pretty patternable. So if you see them there, you know, night overnight, or you will see the same deer in the same area night overnight, figure out where they're coming out of, you know, out of the trees into that field, set up your tree stand, wait on a good wind. I really believe that if you bump them, scare them out of there, whatever the case is, even one time in this early season, quite often you're not going to get them with the bow unless you fluke out or get lucky and get them later in the year or something like that. But right now they're patternable. I know there's a lot of big deer get shot in the opening week, and then after that, once they start rubbing their velvet off, then their patterns change. Everything seems to change when they're doing that.
One thing about 514, you'll attest to this, there's a lot of big open water lines, cut lines, that kind of stuff that have been cut through the the bush over the years. These are tremendous spots for habitat for whitetails and moose, for that matter, and mule deer, whatever it may be. Ungulates in general, they're going to be eating there. The thing is, and I still find this, you're not going to run them in the middle of the day. You probably, the chances are a little bit less than early morning, late evening.
That's when I prefer to hunt, is the early morning, late evening. I know come rut, you know, it's anybody's guess. And yeah, the more time that you spend out there, the more opportunity. I would say that that is also, you know, fair to say for the early season. If you can spend a little bit more time out there, you know, and you're comfortable and whatever, especially with, you know, it, outside of the bugs, the weather is right now pretty reasonable for sitting in, as opposed to November when it gets really cold. But right now, if you, the more time you spend out there, the better chances you have. But definitely, I'm a big fan of, you know, first thing in the morning and those last few hours before the sun goes down.
I was out last year early in the year, and I was on the quad. It was in the afternoon. I was on the cut line. I was moving to a spot, and I see something move on the line, and I'm looking, what the heck? It's white, and it was a hunter with winter camo on, and I'm thinking, buddy, probably not the best idea. And I drove up to him and talked to him and chatted with him a bit, and he goes, deer are colorblind, it don't matter. I'm thinking, well, you're still like a little white shiny dot on this cut line. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, they say that animals as well, deer are colorblind. I am a big fan of anything that's going to break up. So depending on what kind of camo he was wearing, if he's just wearing a jet white or just...
He was wearing white Realtree.
White Realtree.
Yeah, like, you know, like the stuff. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, sticks out like a sore thumb.
It sticks out like a sore thumb.
I'm sure that it's probably better than wearing a bright orange or all solid white onesie.
But you know, I wasn't going to, you know, definitely was not going to mistake him for a deer.
No, that's for sure. I mean, if safety is on his mind, that could be a reason why, for sure.
Maybe that's all he had for camo?
I'd normally go with maybe an orange, you know, throw on an orange hat or an orange vest or whatever.
When you're moving, I agree. Absolutely. 100%. Alberta does not require the use of... Saskatchewan has different rules, right? Yeah. So it's completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. Same with Manitoba, same thing. I'm actually surprised that Alberta doesn't have a mandatory orange, especially in a place like 514 where it is open right now.
And you see that lots, but you know, that's why it's up to you as a hunter to, you know, obviously use common sense. An orange hat, toque, whatever it may be, is always a good idea.
For sure. I actually, last year, I had picked up a toque, and it had, or even, I know you've had these little cap lights or a headlamp.
Yeah.
I'm always a big fan of wearing those coming out of the bush.
That is a great idea.
I believe that, you know, that's when people are looking, you know, they see something moving along a tree line or something like that. They got you in the scope. If you got a light on your head, that's a lot different than, you know, orange in real low light conditions like that. You wouldn't necessarily see the orange.
You don't usually see deer with headlamps. No,
that's right. Or yeah, I've yet to see one, but
I think Bigfoot wear them.
that could be
Jason. What about upland birds, grouse right now? Rough grouse are open also. Great eating bird, obviously. I've the best eating in the bush as far as I'm concerned, but you can still get out there. It's a little tougher to see them, but it's a challenge to get them right now.
Absolutely. And this time of year, it sure makes for, you know, first thing in the morning or again, you know, closer to when sunset, I find that's the best time to go try to find them. And right now it sure makes for a nice walk. You know, the weather's right, you're get a little bit of exercise, fresh air. I just really enjoy being out there walking some of those trails, especially if you got some trails that are nice and dry. I know it's been a little bit wet out there, but you get a decent trail, you quite often find those birds right alongside, either in the ditches, come to the trails to eat those rocks, help with their digestion, and yeah, quite often they're just off the trail. You can hear them sometimes before you see them when it's as leafy as it is right now, but makes for an exciting hunt for sure.
Well, you know, as many times as it's happened, when they flush and you don't see them, it still gets you going.
It gets the heart pumping, absolutely. Makes you know, or lets you know you're still alive, that's for sure.
Lets you know you're still alive, indeed. You know, I want to talk fishing real quick now, switch gears. Great time of the year for big pike in all bodies of water. For example, Siebert Lake, Marie Lake, and Coal Lake, three big ones that I'm talking about. Good thing about Siebert, you can combine a hunting and fishing trip into one up in that campsite up there, Wolf Lake also. But of course, check the regulations. You can't keep a lot of fish there, but catch and release fishing to me is just as fun. With Coal Lake, of course, the big, find a weed bed right now and you're going to catch pike.
Yeah. And it's always fun, you know, get out there, do a bunch of hunting, but it's hard for me to switch my brain into the fishing while hunting's open, but it's still a great time. Like you
it's
say,
not difficult.
still obviously still great. And I find later, you know, early season, early in the spring, and then late in the fall, I find those bigger fish are easier to find at those times.
And the best shape of the year. And you know what? If you didn't take them afternoon naps all the time, you would be able to get some fishing in.
Well, if you get up as early as I do for the hunting, then you'd understand these afternoon
that
naps.
That is true. You do get up early. Jason, we're running out of time for this show. I'm telling you, we went through a lot of information today.
And too fast. We need a longer segment.
You know what? Happy Labor Day, everybody, whatever Labor Day is.
I mean, it's the Banjo Bowl.
Oh, yeah, it's the Banjo Bowl. And, of course, the Battle of Alberta.
That's right.
Don't forget that. Enjoy your football. Enjoy your hunting. Enjoy your fishing. Enjoy the Lakeland, because we've got so much outdoors out there to enjoy. That's what we're bringing you the show for.
Absolutely. Got to say thanks to Mountain Mike. I came in here, used the facilities. I saw a hair straightener. I thought it was for his beard.
I thought it was a curling iron.
Maybe it was. Maybe that's what it was. I couldn't tell for sure. I don't know. I'm not too familiar with it, but I was wondering if that was for his beard, but it looks like he's fairly clean shaven right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I know Agent Wispinski don't use that kind of stuff.
No.
But we'd like to thank her too.
Absolutely.
And Mountain Mike, of course, our engineer and our sponsors and our listeners. And check us out on Facebook at Fishing and the Hunting in the Lakeland, of course. And of course, click on the podcast button on My Lakeland Now, and you can get all of our shows. Jason, thank you so much. Next week, we're going to have a special guest. We've got Jim Miller coming in from the Bonnyville Shooting Sports Association. We're going to talk shooting. We're going to talk the range that they have to offer for shooters out there, because you know what? They do have a great range here in Bonnyville.
Great facility, and I'm excited to have them in. I know they run a lot of different events out of that place as well, so it's definitely one you don't want to miss.
Stay tuned for that, folks. Jason, this is it. We'll see you next week.
We will.
On the podcast. My name is Ken Wichpin.
I'm Jason Ludd.
Until next week, like I said, folks, we'll see you on the podcast.
This has been Outdoor Adventures. Now get out there and explore. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and Spotify for more.